Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Oh my God, can we just start off by saying I am so excited about today's podcast. Genuinely, since we recorded it, I've been like telling everybody that we've had this man on the pod. Have you done the same?
Oh my God, yes. And I keep cringing. Anyone that listens, please message us and see what, like, try and guess what I'm cringing at. It's in the first probably 2 minutes of the podcast.
I cannot believe that you said this to him. I can't believe it, but it was gold. It was absolute gold. And it was what I wanted to say, but I thought, you know what? I'm not sure it'll go down that well. And then Georgia just came straight out for it. It's going to be a good chat. We'll tell you who it is in a minute. But firstly, Georgia, how are you? How was your weekend?
I'm all right. I had quite a good weekend. I actually took a leaf out of your book and did some like organizing, like unpacking, putting summer clothes away, emptying the loft, all that kind of stuff. And it's boring as it sounds. I did actually have some drinks on Friday night and I went out and had a lovely time. But I just needed to get on top of all of the shit, basically.
Was Judgy James around?
No, Judgy James wasn't around. Maybe that helped.
Is this like a conscious uncoupling? Are you guys still together?
No. No.
Okay, right.
If we're not, I'll let everyone know.
Yeah, first. Please
You'll
do.
Be the first to know. Please and do. How was your weekend?
Yeah, I was back at work because I had last weekend off, which was really lovely, but it was nice actually. I did have a moment where I thought, oh my God, can I remember how to do live radio? Do I know how to press the buttons? Can I cue the news up? But it all went fine. And then on Saturday, we went to Chessington World of Adventures. We're doing like a Halloween
Thought Park?
That's
right.
Other theme parks are available, George. But no, this one was at Chessington. This was their like Halloween day. So we took the kids. We went with a couple of our other mates and their kids, and we had a brilliant day. Just like bumper cars and scary rides.
Were the kids not scared? No. Were they fine?
The kids aren't scared. I'm terrified. I feel like I'm either going to puke or wee myself every 2 minutes.
I think I've got like two proper scaredy cat kids. Like neither of them can cope. Like Axel is petrified of Minions. Like that's a kid's film, isn't it? He had to sit out of his class. I think he had to go and sit with like some of the teachers while the rest of the children in the year watched Minions, but he couldn't because he was too scared. Oh. And then Gigi, like last week at nursery, they said to me, we had to take her outside while the other kids were dressing up. And I was like, well, what were they dressed up as? And they were just like, oh, you know, Spider-Man, Batman.
Is it because they see you and James dressing up in all kinds of weird shit at home and they think,
and they're like,
I tell you what you should do. There's a theory behind this that if a child is scared of like a cartoon character, you should dress up as a minion and then go and be their friend.
What?
Please do it for the gram. Get a Minions outfit, dress up, and then hang out with Axel.
If I get arrested, then it's...
If you spot Georgia in a Minions outfit down Brentwood High Street,
then yeah, I'm going to blame you. I'm coming for you.
Oh, God. We're delirious. Gosh, and it's only Tuesday. We should get into the chat because it's a meaty one and it's a very, it's a really interesting one because actually, when you think about this guy, even though he talks about his life as a parent, we kind of know him for being a pop star originally. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, he's gone on to do acting and he's gone on to do, I mean, all kinds of different things. But I grew up with him on my wall.
Me too.
You did, right?
Yeah.
And don't lie, everyone listening, I bet you did too.
And all the pretend snogging to the poster. Does anyone remember that?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't say that on the podcast.
No, can you imagine? No, I did refrain from that, everyone.
Yes, but just listen out for the word oil, because when it comes, it will be amazing. Georgia, who are we chatting to today?
Today, we are chatting to the absolute legend, Peter Andre, and founder of the Playful Den, Emma Warrilow.
So I'm going to try and contain our excitement for both Georgia and I, because today our guest on the podcast is somebody that I can guarantee, I reckon about 99% of you listening will have had a poster on your wall of this man.
A heavily oiled poster. Definitely wouldn't have been wearing a shirt.
Guys, what is with the oil? I don't know why I did that. I don't know. There's no part of me that understands why you would want to be in a picture covered in oil. On the beach, yes.
That's what we're going to come
Listen,
to. That's
we
what
loved we're going to come it. To. We were into we it, it, so it's fine.
I think you can tell just by hearing that voice who is today's guest. An absolute legend globally, but here in the UK, we absolutely
so
adore him. Currently on tour, dad to, I think, 4 children now, husband to Emily. So we're chatting to Peter Andre and, on top of that, play expert and founder of The Playful Den, the wonderful Emma Warrilow. Welcome
on,
to the
Emma.
Podcast.
Yay!
Hello!
Hi, guys. Oh, you know what? First of all, I just want to say that Zoe is lovely to see you again. I haven't seen you for years. And the ironic thing is we were in touch recently just about, you know, talking and doing something interview-wise. It somehow, yeah. It all came around and it came back to this spot, which had nothing to do with either me or you, which is bizarre.
Well, we were at ITV2 during the same
That's
sort of
right,
period
yeah.
about a decade ago. And we were at an ITV2 dinner. And I remember vividly sitting next to you, like trying to be kind of cool. But at the beginning, sort of in the start of my career. And then I was like, oh, right. Yeah, no, cool. Who's sitting next to me? And I look down, I see a little name tag, Peter Andre. And I'm like,
oh, God.
Hey, great, sure, of course it is. But obviously, yeah, we've known each other for a long time. So I'm super pleased that we've managed to get you on the podcast today. And how wonderful that we've got Emma on as well, who is our play expert, and you guys are teaming up together. Just talk us through what you're collaborating on.
I was going to say, I don't have any oil stories, but maybe dreadnought oil these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are sort of here to sort of share and discuss some of this really awesome research that Habitat Kids have done around parenting and playing with kids specifically. They've launched a new children's range, and they've done this research alongside that, which has got all these really interesting insights that Pete and I are kind of going to talk about with you guys. And I'm sure loads of your listeners will find these really interesting around kind of playing with children and how that can make us more joyful and kind of improve our well-being, yeah. And all of those sorts of things. So yeah, we're kind of excited to get stuck into that.
Zoe and I we both will admit we are rubbish at playing with our kids. Rubbish. I mean, if someone comes at me like, can we play mums and dads? I'm suddenly running for the hills and I've got something really urgent that I need to do. What camp do you both sit in? I'm guessing, Emma, you are the play expert, so you are playing with your kids. Pete, are you the one that plays the games?
I'm a typical dad. I'm a typical dad in many ways. One, I can't multitask. That's standard. The only multitasking I can actually do is I can drink a coffee and have a conversation at the same time. It's about the only thing I can do. But my kids, it's an interesting subject, because one of the things that Emily has taught me, and you know, I've changed 5 sets of nappies over the last 17 years, junior 16, but over 17 years, I've changed 5 sets of nappies. And I said to Emily, I thought I knew it all about being a parent. And I clearly didn't. Because one of the things that she said to me is that, you know, obviously we all know that being a parent, a good parent is someone that puts their kids first. It doesn't matter how you do it. If you put your kids first and your intention is that their priority is first, you're a good parent. But we can fail in things like, for example, we think we're putting them first because we're sitting in the room with them and we're watching a movie, but we're not really watching the movie because we're on our phone, which is something I do a lot. But those kids want that undivided time. They want that time dedicated to them where you're not on your phone. And you're actually watching the movie with them, even if you can't stand the movie that you're watching, which happens to me loads of times. I'm watching this movie that I can't even understand. They've got it. I don't even get it. And I'm so much older than them. But it's about being in the room with them in the sense of actually listening to what they're listening to, discussing what they're watching, things like that. And I'm not the best at that. But as I'm getting older, I am starting to learn these things that actually it's that time you have with them, that precious time that's away from phones, away from tablets. That's what they want. They don't want gifts. They would love gifts. But what they want more than anything is your time. And that's something as a parent I thought I knew. And I thought, yeah, yeah, I've got this down. And actually Emily was like, you know, I said, but aren't I doing what they want me to do? And she said, yeah, but you're on your phone all the time and they see that. And she made a point. And I thought, you know what? You learn every day. You learn every day. You sort of go, you're right. Now we're all to blame for it, especially us guys. Not all guys, but I'm hopeless. I'm getting better. I'm definitely getting better.
I think it's that feeling of always being contactable.
Yeah.
And I think actually it's a real pressure from our world that we're now living in that, you know, people can WhatsApp us and if they can see a two blue ticks when we've read it and if we don't respond, question mark.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to cook my kids dinner or I'm trying to go for a wee on my own, thanks, or whatever it may be. Yeah, but you constantly feel like you've got this phone that's looking at you constantly wanting stuff. And actually, we had this discussion the other day, George, didn't we, about, you know, actually, even if we're working all day long, but when we pick the kids up from school, we put our phones down for an hour and we just give them our undivided attention.
Yeah.
And it makes us feel less stressed as parents. Would you agree with that, Emma?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you can't play when you're distracted. So if we look at what playing is, it's doing something for no objective other than fun. When you're doing it, you are completely in flow. So play is kind of like a fun, active, meditative state. And you can't do that if you're distracted. And that's why it makes you have that reaction when they say, come and play mums and dads with me. Because generally, as parents, we've got like 1,000 things to do and going around our minds. And also now we've got these kind of blurred boundaries between home and work. So when that phone is in our hand, that phone is also, as you say, a sort of portal to work and all of these other things. So it does make it very hard to suddenly switch from being in kind of like mum mode, work mode to suddenly, you know, I'm doing a role play. So that kind of transition from different sides of ourselves, I think, has become more splintered and a lot more complicated in the kind of modern world that we live in now.
Do you think you can like just be the person that doesn't play? Like, so for instance, with me and my husband, he loves playing all the games. He likes getting in, like going in the garden and getting dirty. I don't. So I'm like the boring one and the one that does the cooking and the one that does the homework. I'm like that one. I'm that parent. And he's the fun parent. And I guess it's just kind of
you're
like,
fun, George.
Not fun. I hate fun.
You sound fun. I mean, the thing is,
he is fun.
Another interesting point, because Emily is the one that loves going in the garden and doing all that sort of stuff. And I love cooking. It's almost like a reverse thing. But there was something she told me that because I was feeling that. I'm like, man, you know, why aren't I being a bit more sort of going out there and playing football with them or doing that? And she said, you know, what's a really good idea? Get them involved in the cooking. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, for example, if you're going to make something and Theo's on the table, you know, you say to Theo, okay, right, you're going to help me put all these ingredients in and stuff like that. And I say, okay, when you put this in, you can't put too much because it's too strong, or you can't put this in. It's those little things that actually, it's something you have to do anyway, is cook, and it gets them involved. And actually they love it. So now they always want to know what ingredients you're putting in the food. Obviously, I don't tell them the vegetables I'm putting in because they won't eat it. So I hide those ones, but everything else I put in there. But it is that I do get that sometimes where I think, man, I wish I was a bit more playful. And then I go the other extreme where sometimes I'll start colouring in with Amelia and they all leave the room and I'm still there colouring this rabbit that, you know, an hour later I'm still
therapeutic.
In there. Yeah, because it's therapeutic. It so
yeah. But you've got two older kids. You've got Junior and Princess. What do you think you've learnt? I mean, there's probably a long list of learnings from the first time round to the second time round. But what are the ones that really stand out to you about, you know, having your two teenagers who are amazing, by the way? I can't believe the amazing things they're doing. And then you've got your three littlies as well. So
for me, one thing I've learned, and it's what I said at the beginning, if you put your kids first, you're a good parent. It's as simple as that. Because I realized very early on that every parent is different. It doesn't mean what I do is right. It doesn't mean what another person does is right or wrong. But if they're your first priority, it's right. It doesn't matter how you do it. And because as a parent, when you're thinking about what's best for them, or, you know, if you've got that thought in your mind, you are going to probably make mostly the right decisions, or at least the decisions that are towards the right decisions. We don't always get it right. Yeah. Here's something, actually, a really, really good thing that I learned along the way was never say to your child ever, and I've stuck by this, never say you're a bad boy or you're a bad girl. Or what you say is you're a good boy, you're a good girl, but what you did was wrong or what you did was bad.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things I ever learned, because when you say to a child, you're bad, or you're naughty, or you're this, or you're that, it sticks in their mind. I remember the things my dad used to say. And of course, he didn't mean it in a bad way. But as I got older, I believed that I was a troublemaker. I believed I was this, I was that. Whereas if you say to a child, you know, you are a good boy, but what you've done is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, that changes the game, because all of a sudden you believe you're a good person. But you make mistakes, you know? So that's one thing I've learned.
I love that. I love that. And I love our learnings from our parents. I love as when we become parents, interestingly, all of the stuff that our parents used to say to us when we were kids, it almost comes bubbling up to the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum, you know, was an amazing, she's probably the reason that I'm doing the job that I'm doing today, because she was so supportive. But my mum was quite focused on, she was a model, so everything was around aesthetics. So she kind of used to praise us when we were, you know, if we looked pretty or we were beautiful or da-da-da. And then it's one thing that I'm vehemently against now is focusing on the kids' aesthetics. I'm like, you're really clever, you're really smart, you're so funny, you're really fast, you know, all of these things, because I don't want that pressure to be put on them. So it's kind of, and I never saw it at the time.
It is so interesting, but we've spoken about this before, Zoe, but it's like finding the balance, isn't it, between, you know, I love calling my daughter beautiful, but it's not the only thing that I say to her, because like we've spoken to people who were never called beautiful, and it was probably because their parents thought, right, I don't want to focus on the way they look, and then they grow up thinking, I'm not beautiful. Yeah. I mean, we can't win.
It's balance, isn't it? One of the other things, which I guess is very fitting to the subject of what we're talking about today, one of the things that Emily did that I thought was brilliant was when we redesigned Amelia's room, she said, I've got this vision about making this room, you know, like, she's super mum. I was like, okay, well, you go ahead. But she didn't just go ahead and design this room how she wanted. She got the kids involved. And one of the best things she did, because she wanted Princess, she wanted Theo, she wanted them all to feel that they were part of the design of this room, she asked every one of them what they think would look good in that room. And I thought that's a really clever idea, because they all felt part of it. So if someone said, I think we should have blue in the room, or we should have pink in the room, or we should have this, or we should have that, and she would write it all down, and she would go and get elements of everything that every child said. And when she did that specific bit, she got them to help them with that bit. So they felt that they contributed to designing this room. And I thought that was a bloody clever idea. But I also thought, oh, my God, you've got to have patience to do this. Then again, she's a doctor, so she's got lots of patience.
she's the expert. Emma, Habitat have done the research around designing kids' rooms and kids' bedrooms, haven't they? And it's been quite interesting what's kind of come out of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think your question that you asked earlier, Georgia, I just want to come back to that, because I think loads of parents will want to know the answer to that. You said, can you just not play? Can you almost like outsource that to other more playful people? I think it's, I think it's a choice, but the research shows that there are real benefits to doing that for us personally as adults. So we're seeing here that parents that spend 5 hours a week, which sounds a lot, I'm going to help break that down in a minute, 5 hours a week playing with their kids feel happier and less stressed, and it draws out their inner child. And parents that do that also report that they find that creativity sort of follows them around to other areas of their lives. So there are huge benefits for us as stressed out, busy parents to actually getting stuck in the play. So 5 hours a week seems to be this kind of magic number. If we look across a week, including the weekends, that's about 40 minutes-ish a day. We've probably got a bit more time on the weekends. So it doesn't have to be loads and loads of time, but there are benefits for us as well as for our children. And I think, you know, you were sort of touching there, Pete, upon sort of how you talk to your children and what sort of messages you give them, and playing with them is really like the best space for us to seed values, talk about difficult things, praise them for other things that aren't about being beautiful and pretty, like you talked about, Zoe. So we can say, wow, your imagination is incredible, or wow, the way you come up with ideas is absolutely mind-blowing. And we can find those things in play. And the closer that we get as parents to that play, the more that we sort of see our children. That's how I talk about playing. Like, you really see them for who they are, because when we're at play, we're genuinely being our sort of authentic self. So if you sort of distance yourself from that, you might be missing out on some of those really awesome clues about who your kids really are.
How do you define play? Because Peter was saying that he might not, you know, get out in the garden, but he will cook with the kids. Yep. Does that class as playing? Because I can get involved with that.
It does, yeah. So anything that you're
doing playing, all right, George.
I think it's also interesting to talk about play and playfulness. So play is an activity that we do just purely for fun. There's no other motivation or objective to play. It has to just be for fun. And playfulness is where we apply the sort of principles of play to something that isn't play. So you might think, well, cooking, that's got an objective to it. We've got to have dinner, but we can do that in a really playful way. So we can talk about the ingredients. We can have like sensory moments, touching and getting messy. We can be telling jokes and sharing stories while we're doing it. So you can make any activity playful, really. It is kind of more about a mindset and how you approach things. And I think this is another benefit to just, you know, making an effort to do a little bit of play, because it increases your playful mindset. So it's more likely for you as a parent, when you look at something that looks particularly stressful and, oh my God, how am I going to get these in the bath, out the bath, or out the door, or whatever. If your mind is attuned to be more playful, you're probably going to have more creative, fun solutions to make those things happen.
It is an interesting point, because I just can't stop thinking about the 5-hour thing, and thinking that when you hear 5 hours, you're like, well, where am I going to get 5 hours in a week?
That's what I was just thinking.
To be honest, 5 hours is the first few hours of Saturday morning, you know, or Saturday afternoon. But when you do break it down to 40 minutes a day, and the most important and the thing that's playing on my mind is that 40 minutes, although might not seem like a lot, if you can do that 40 minutes without your phone, that's the bit, or without you being distracted, that's the bit that will, it's a bonding thing that, I mean, I'm learning as I'm going on, and I'm like, you know, I thought, like I said before, I thought I had it in the bag. I thought I knew everything that there was to know as a parent, and I don't. And even this research, it makes perfect sense.
It's definitely quality over quantity, as you say, there, Pete. That's what matters. And kids know, like, they're so smart, and they know if you're not kind of in the room with them. And the research is showing that most parents are actually only playing like less than 2 hours a week, so less than half of that kind of magic number. And the top reason why they can't is work, and the second reason is kids preferring screen time. So work is a really big barrier to parents being able to just put things down and play with their children, which I think, you know, we talked about that sort of fluidity of worlds now, and how those boundaries and barriers are so much harder to manage in the home. And it seems to be, from this research, that is really getting in the way of playtime.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Pete, what are your views on screen time in the Andre household?
As a parent, I'm going to be honest. I reckon we focus too much on you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't be on screen for this. Let's go back to the 19. I was born in 73, so I'm older than all of you guys. So I don't even want to talk about that. But if you go back further, and we were one of the first that had colour TV. I will never forget this. In our street, I remember everyone was so excited because we had a colour TV, right? And they were these tiny little things. But I remember one day, mum and dad coming home from work, and there were six of us in the family, six kids. And I remember mum and dad coming home and them going, mum going, they're all sat in front of that TV. This is really bad. I remember them saying that. And I said, why is it bad, mum? And they said, oh, I don't know if this is good for you or not, because TVs were only new back then. Can you believe it? And I remember them saying that. Fast forward 40-something years, and the new TVs, which are iPads, let's be honest, that's the new TVs, because that's where you get your YouTubes and Netflix. Half these kids don't even know channels that are on TV. We're doing the same thing. We're going, oh, my gosh, they're in front of that screen. Oh, my God, is it good? Is it bad? I think as a balance, I think it's okay. I really do. Because if you add all the other elements in, like what we said about that time that you spend with them away from it, another key thing, sitting down, having dinner together is one of the key things I learned as a kid growing up. That time when you're sitting there, no TV on, which is hard to do, but once you get into that habit of sitting around a table, there's no TVs, there's nothing. You've got no other choice but to talk about your day.
Amazing.
My stupid jokes that they don't find funny. But it's all about that quality time. Then if they go on their screens, it's kind of okay. For me, again, that's what I think. And I'm not right or wrong.
We went somewhere the other day and there was a bunch of teenagers there, and these kids were not talking to any of the adults because they were on their, like, they had little game consoles and they were on their iPads. And so one of my sister's mates looks at me and went, this is because when kids your age, kids, go to restaurants, you give them screens. Now, this wasn't a parent that was talking to me at this point. And I was like, we don't do it all the time. We only do it sometimes. But it really stayed in my mind that actually every time we were going to restaurants, we were going, who wants an iPad? Bit of a treat. The iPad was going up. And then me and Dozza were having a date with our three children there.
But sometimes that's the only way you can, right?
But then we went out the other day on Sunday to the pub, and in my head I was thinking, should we take the iPads? And I was like, no. We went and we played these games with these plastic cups. And I said, go and get two stones. And we had this plastic cup stone game going on. It lasted for about 40 minutes. There were no iPads. The kids had an amazing time. We were chatting and stuff. It was just a brilliant moment. And I think it shifted me from thinking, do you know what? I always need to bring the screens out with me. I'm going to try and reduce it.
Yeah. I think it's balance, isn't
exactly.
it?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I bring the color in with me and like all that stuff. And that's great. But other days I just think, no, I actually just want to sit and eat my dinner and have a conversation with my husband.
But you've both made a really good point, which I never really thought of until now. We're here saying that, you know, you have to put your kids first, 100%. I've always agreed with that. But we also need to look after us. And if you look after you, it was kind of respite, right? If you kind of look after you, you're going to be in a better state to look after your kids. So occasionally, so going by what you both said, I totally agree with both of them that it's nice sometimes to not take the screens, but sometimes Emily's like, you know, should I give Theo the iPad? Like we've all had dinner, we've all spoken, we've all played a game. Then afterwards, he's getting ratty. We're all still wanting to enjoy the combo. We'll go, you know what, just let him have it for a little bit. And that's the balance we kind of found. But it is finding that balance, because us as parents, if we don't get any time with our partners or, you know, time to sort of appreciate the older kids who don't you know, who don't get ratty and can have hold a conversation, then that might, that changes the dynamics as well. So it's about just finding, again, yeah, it's what, you know, it's balance. Absolutely.
It's balance.
What does romantic time away from the kids between you and Emily look like? What does a date like?
It looks like an impossibility at the moment. we went away for a birthday for a night and literally we felt guilty. I'm not kidding. I think ever since lockdown changed a lot of things. And I'll tell you why, because Emily's a doctor. So she was working on the front line through the first pandemic. She was right in the midst of it. And she got really sick the first time because that was before they had all the masks and everything like that. So she had to distance herself a lot from us because she was around COVID patients day in, day out. And it was still new. So I stopped work because my work being in the entertainment industry, I guess, basically stopped dead. And I was like, right, this is great. You know, I can be dad and I can do school work. And literally, I was pulling my hair out by about week two. But that's not the point. The point was that
we all were, don't worry. We're all in the same boat.
I mean, you did well week two. Yeah. I was like, two.
You know what? I couldn't believe that it made me love single parents. It made me love teachers. It made me love people because I'm like, I don't want to do this ever again. Because we swapped roles, okay, then all of a sudden I got used to being at home and I got used to being with the kids and I got used to putting them, everything had to be about them because at that time things were quite tough. And Emily had to stay away, so I had to take on that role. When things started balancing out a bit, I couldn't get back into the other role of our time. It just seemed that we've been stuck in this, everything's about the kids, everything's about the kids, everything's about the kids. And I'll tell you, we spoke about it and we went, we've got to get time to ourselves because, and this is again what I was saying about putting your kids first is so important, but by looking after you guys as well, that is also putting your kids first because it means that the time you spend with them is better. That's just my opinion. I might be completely wrong.
Agreed.
We completely agree. So going back to decorating their rooms, because I sometimes think if they have got a lovely room, then maybe they'll go and play up there.
I love the way you think,
and leave you alone.
That's awesome thinking.
But I was always worried. So I know that there's like beds with slides and things like that. And I always thought, oh gosh, but if I get a bed with a slide, he's just going to go up and play and see as his room as somewhere to play or Gigi's room as somewhere to play. And then they're not going to sleep. So with my son's room, I decorated it really dark and really calming. And so he thinks of it as somewhere to sleep. But should I be thinking of it as like a multitasking space so they can play in there and also sleep and do their homework and all that kind of stuff? How should we be setting up their rooms?
I think it's definitely a personal choice. I think there's an argument for both routes. the research shows that in the last year, 80% of parents have redesigned bedrooms and play spaces. And one of the main reasons is to inspire creativity. So you had a lovely discussion there about screen time and, oh my goodness, why is balance just the golden chalice of life, isn't it? It's constantly trying to get that sway right. But I think one of the things that parents are concerned about with increased screen time activity is perhaps less time spent imagining and also flexing our creativity muscles, which creativity is incredibly important for future workplace, also has massive links to well-being and happiness and that sort of thing. And this seems to be one of the motivators behind redesigning children's bedrooms to boost that creativity. And we can do that working with the space that we've got. So yes, if you need the space to be more calm and kind of more neutral and muted, because ultimately it's sleep is very important and we don't want to interfere with that, there's still ways that you can set up that space to allow the creativity to flow. So when it's not sleep time, you can kind of tuck everything away and it's kind of well organized and it kind of changes its role. But I think there is a real desire to set up that space to allow play to flow more freely, because environment does actually affect how we behave, how we feel. We all know that, don't we? If we're sat all day in a dark grey room, we feel really different to if we've been in a light, airy, colourful space. So environment does really affect how we behave. And we can set up and design spaces now for kids that allow them to be more creative.
I was just going to say, and the bedroom is just as important as, say, a playroom or, you know, a play area in a house if you haven't got a playroom. So it's okay to have toys in there and to be kind of have a creative space in there for them.
I just think sometimes we ask these questions like there's certain rules, and I don't think there are. It's just sort of not everyone has a playroom, so that's not even an option. So it's not like you're never going to have playful, imaginative children if you don't have a playroom. You just work with what you've got. If the bedroom is, you know, a space that's really well set up so that kids can play in there as well, that's fine. You just need to figure out how to put it back together again when it's kind of calm time. If you've got shared space, kids generally, when they're younger, want to play in public. So even if you put all the toys up there anyway, they're probably going to bring them all downstairs anyway, because they like the proximity. They like to have, it's all about sort of connecting and their sort of like distance to you. So they want to be kind of within proximity to you. So most people are trying to balance having some kind of toys and play in their shared space without feeling like they're in a kind of soft play or nursery.
Absolutely. Emma, I'm so glad you've got all the answers. Emma, on the podcast. She's rocking, isn't she?
I know.
I've got different ages of kids, right? So Junior's 16. And when he was 14, he wanted a PlayStation in his room. Em said, she goes, look, you do what you want, I wouldn't do it. And I said, I know, but... I said, should I put it downstairs? And she said, well, I would, because then you can see him, you know. And it was an on and off discussion for ages. And I did it. I just said, you know what, I'm going to get it for his room. I said, these are the rules, blah, 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 blah. And he stuck to them for a while. Then he got to a point when he was about 15 and I started to lose him to his room. And I thought, well, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't like it. Surely he's going to outgrow this. Surely he's going to outgrow this. And I talked to him. I said, mate, I don't want you on it late. I want to make sure, blah, 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 blah. They weren't allowed their phones in their room. I said, you can have your PlayStation, but you can't have your phone in your room, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it got to the point where I was like almost ready to pull the plug. Literally, I thought, he's in there too much. I don't know what to do. I kept questioning myself. I'm not being a good parent. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And just like that, he turned 16. I guess the hormones are kicking in. I guess he's at college now. He's not even interested in playing on it. He wants to come downstairs and watch movies with me. He's like, Dad, should we do this? Dad, let's order a takeout. Dad, let's do this. And I'm like, that's my son. Like, all of a sudden, everything changed. Because he's lived with me for the last 3 or so years. I noticed things... I saw stages change and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, so that was that. Princess now, all of a sudden.
Phases.
She's 14.
Yeah.
And I didn't allow her to have a phone in her room at 13 until she turned 14. It was part of the rules. I said, look, that's what happened with Junior. That's what's happening with you. I've started to lose her a bit to her room. But the difference with her is when she's in her room, she's doing little vlogs of makeup and she's doing things. And I see, and I love it. I just think, oh, she's so adorable. And she's just, such a good, she always wants to come down and sit and have a cup of tea with me and Emily and have our biscuits and watch TV or whatever we can watch at night. But she has that time on her own. And I'm less scared because I've seen what happened to Junior. And I get that they will go through that stage where they want to be, they want their privacy. You know, at 13, I was locked away in my room, but for something different. I would practice and practice and practice singing to the point where I'd have a poster of Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Elvis. And I used to close my eyes and I used to picture I was them. And I would try and sing their songs in their style, each one. And I also had a picture of Cindy Crawford, but that was a whole different story.
I love that.
I love Cindy Crawford. I mean, she was just like, yeah,
she still is. She's still a mega baby.
My dad was like, you know, he knew I was upstairs practicing for what I wanted to do, as long as I did my homework. And I ended up fulfilling my dream. And now whenever I'm with my mum and dad, all I want to do is sit and watch Discovery with Dad and watch David Attenborough. And I mean, they live in Australia, but that's what I want to do. So I think we've got to let go of the reins a bit, but at the same time, we're going to be worried because we're parents.
They come back around, don't they?
So. We need to say goodbye. Oh. Before we do, one final question, because it's a parenting podcast. Yes. Will there be a new tiny person to play with, or are you guys done?
Just the thought of that makes me so anxious. I can't. It's in my heart. It was just, it's literally gone from this place. No, I mean, I'm 48, guys. I'm 48. I've still got black hair. I don't know how. I get asked all the time if I diet, and I'm like, no, I don't diet. I don't know how I've kept it all, but it is in the hair. But anyway, I'm 48. So I'm like, do I really want to be changing nappies at 50? I mean, fine if you're Simon Cowell and it's your first child, I get it. But when you've had a few, I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, I think you're done. Thank you both so much, Emma, Pete. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute treat to chat to you. And please come back again.
Thank you guys very, very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zoe,
lovely to
thank you. Peter Andre.
I absolutely love that chat after I'd calmed down for making my big boo-boo at the beginning. But he took it well.
Funny.
He took it well, didn't he? So it was fine.
The thing is that I've known him for like 15 years, right? And I genuinely have wanted to say that, but never thought that it was the right thing to do. Georgia and I hadn't had a chat about it, and she just comes out with it going like, oh, what made you use so much oil in that mysterious girl video? And I was like, fuck, this could go one of two ways here. He could either like have a sense of humour failure, or he could get it. And he was really brilliant. And that is the man. He's a really, really wonderful human, an amazing father, clearly like a brilliant husband. I just feel like what their little unit at home is so great. Mm. It was really interesting to hear how he plays with the kids and, you know, his learnings from first to second time round.
Yeah, I was going to say as well, like when he said we focus on what they're not allowed to do rather than like just saying what they are allowed to do. So like we're always focused on, oh no, they're not allowed screens. But actually that doesn't always work out. And it's like almost don't set yourself up to fail because you know that is going to happen at some point. I found that quite interesting because we do always talk about that, don't we? And we have all this like guilt around screen time and all this kind of stuff. And he's a bit like, you know what, just let go. Like, you know, it is what it is. They're going to come back around. They might want to play in their room on computer games for a while, but then, you know, in a few months' time, they're going to be back downstairs and wanting to watch films with you. So I like that.
Yeah, I did. I loved it as well. And I also really like valued Emma's thoughts around play and actually her kind of saying that, you know, 40 minutes a day, you know, if you can't do 40 minutes, do 20 minutes. But if you can, it's actually not, it doesn't seem like such a big thing. And if that looks like a Saturday morning for you where you just put your phone down and just concentrate on your kids, that is, you know, since we recorded that podcast, I've really been making like a proper effort to play with the kids and to leave my bloody phone alone because it was just all consuming. And I like, even this morning when I was on the school run with Luna, like we got there and we got there 10 minutes early and I just found myself, Luna was sitting next to me, you know, in the front seat, we parked up and I was suddenly just like looking at my phone, just scrolling through Instagram. And I was like, my daughter, my beautiful, funny, brilliant daughter, is sitting there and I'm on Instagram. I was like, this is bullshit. So I just put the phone away and we went out and played tag out on the green outside of her school for 10 minutes before. It was lovely.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And I think when you do start to see the kids like being like, Mom, get off your phone or what are you doing? It is like, oh gosh, that's a realization that that we need to not do that so much. I mean, sometimes it can't be helped, you know, like you've got to reply to an urgent email or, you know, you're replying to a friend who's having a really bad day and you know that person needs you.
Or you've got to buy that dress on ASOS. Like these things come up.
Yeah, I mean, needs must, eh? No, but all jokes aside, like we have got to make a bit of a conscious effort to do that.
Yeah.
Because then when we do have that time for ourselves, you're not going to feel so guilty about it because you know you have given them some attention already.
Mm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, George. And yeah, I mean, that's not the current state of affairs in the house. Currently, they're just sitting in front of the television, but they're so knackered from school. I think they're a bit played out.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. It is in the afternoons. Like when they said, oh, 40 minutes a day, I thought, gosh, I don't think when Axel gets back from school, he could handle 40 minutes of play with me. Maybe it's 40 minutes of play in general because you know, at the, obviously at school, they're getting way more than that.
Yeah. So, let's say it is.
Yeah. Let's say that's our rule.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, we couldn't do this podcast without you guys. So we are eternally grateful. And if you could give us a rate, review, subscribe to the podcast as well. You can follow the podcast. And as I said, those reviews are really important. So if you do have time to leave one, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, please do. And any suggestions for guests, then please do send them our way. We're on at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production. And today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.